Hello, Internet. Welcome to the first ever episode of Nerd Roots.
Heyo!
I'm Ben.
I'm Kia.
And we'll be getting down to the root of nerddom.
Yeah, we're going to talk about, origin stories and all that. What makes you a nerd?
Exactly. Being a nerd has become a big thing lately.
Yeah, it's kind of exploded. I feel like it's cool to be a nerd again.
It's hip to be. It used to not be cool to be a nerd.
Yeah, so we're here to capitalize on it.
Totally. So, what exactly will we be doing on this podcast?
There's so many different types of nerd culture that's out there, and just little by little, we're gonna go through. We're gonna talk about all of them. We're gonna talk about what it is that stuck out when you were little, what still sticks out for you, how have your tastes evolved, things like that, you know, just talk about all of that.
Basically, we're trying to get down to why you enjoy it, and it's not just going to be me and Kia.
Yeah.
We're going to have some really awesome guests on this show.
Some really cool guests, some really great nerdy people who like all different sorts of things.
Yeah, and there'll be nerdy people that you might know.
Well, like who?
That's a secret.
Oh, okay.
So when you think of the word nerd, you usually think, right at the top of your head, comic books, right?
Movies. I was going to say someone who wears glasses.
That too. That can be a thing too.
But yeah, comic books, movies, video games.
That's the first thing you think of, and we're not just going to talk about those things though, because there are many different types of nerds, right?
There really are.
Like Kia, aren't you a board game nerd?
I would say that's probably my predominant area of nerdery.
Nerdery.
There we go. That's board games, me. Yeah.
I used to be a sneaker nerd.
Whoa.
I know. I used to have like over 150 pairs of sneakers.
Wow. I used to be a World of Warcraft nerd. I played it pretty much daily.
And that counts as video games.
It does. You're right. But I feel like, again, like a fighting game is a lot different from a role-playing game. I mean, there's so many different areas that we can delve into there.
We're getting really specific now.
I don't want to jump in too deep right now. I know this is just the intro episode, but to make a point.
And we'll get there.
We'll get there. There's so many different facets. Like even comic books. You've got your superheroes. You've got your indie comics. What would you say, Ben, was what kind of started you down this path of nerdy stuff? What is it that first grabbed your attention?
Well, I guess I think the first thing, really, was probably Power Rangers.
Okay.
Because everyone, you know, growing up as a 90s kid, everyone knows Power Rangers.
Absolutely.
But Power Rangers quickly became not that much fun for me because, like, during recess, you'd always play Power Rangers. And with Power Rangers, every race is kind of spoken for.
Yeah.
I always wanted to be the Black Ranger because the Black Ranger I always thought was the coolest, but there was a black in their class. I couldn't be the Black Ranger.
That's interesting. I'm Middle Eastern, so there was never really me represented in anything, so I got to be whoever I wanted.
Yeah, see, I couldn't be the Yellow Ranger, because it's a girl.
Right, and that doesn't make any sense, yeah.
So I always ended up being Putty Patrol whenever we played Power Rangers. It was so, like, looking back at it now, it was so scarring to have to be...
That's pretty demeaning.
Yeah, to have to be Putty Patrol every single time.
Oh.
Yeah, no, not fun. And then, I started, you know, I was into all the SATM cartoons, you know, Saturday AM cartoons, so,
I thought you were talking about Saddam Hussein for a second. I was like, the SATM, what?
Digimon was a big one for me. I, to this day, still love Digimon.
Yeah.
So much. Way better than Pokemon.
Yeah, tell me, I always just kind of assumed it was a Pokemon ripoff.
Nope, you're wrong. It's not a Pokemon ripoff. It's, you know, the Digimon can actually talk. They have feelings. And the fights are a lot better. And there's more of a plot line. It's more progressing towards something as opposed to, you know, Pokemon, which just never ends. Ash is going to be the same age for the rest of his life. You know, it's just not going to end ever. Mm-hmm. And just the characters are much more colorful, more vivid, they're more fleshed out, too.
Okay, I can see
they have, like, actual problems that they need to overcome, as opposed to Pokemon, where it's just like, I need to beat the next gym leader!
Would you say that it probably did start out as a Pokemon, like, hey, let's take this idea and do something good with it?
I think, looking back at it now, marketing-wise, probably that's what they were thinking when they were merchandising it for American audiences.
Okay.
But I think if you looking at it now, it's like, oh no, they're totally different.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Maybe one of these days I'll give it a try.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. Seasons 1, 2, and 3. Yeah. So yeah, a lot of the Saturday morning cartoons, and then also, when I was younger, Beast Wars got me into...
Beast Wars, I was 100% into that.
Yeah.
I got into that way more than I ever got into Transformers proper.
Well, that kind of introduced me to the Transformers lore.
Gotcha.
Even though, like, season one of Beast Wars, you don't...
They don't touch on it too often.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, you have Maximals and Predacons, mm-hmm. cool. It wasn't until season two when they find the Ark and the Golden Disc and all
that
this awesome
really
stuff.
Cool. Yeah.
Where it's like, oh wait, no, they're the descendants of the Autobots and the Decepticons.
Right.
And they went into the whole lore, and I was fairly young at the time, and Transformers was... The original Transformers series was before my time as a functioning adult.
Yeah, but that's the first time I'd really seen any show kind of connect to its predecessor in that way. I remember really enjoying that when I was young.
Yeah, no. Beast Wars, so great. I loved... Pretty much all the characters in that were super amazing, and I loved all of them. There are still episodes that, to this day, I will watch over and over. Like the Dinobot episode,
mm-hmm.
which is...
Oh, yeah, that made me cry when I watched
just
it.
Just tugs at the heartstrings every single time.
Yeah, and all those Hamlet quotes.
Oh, and, so good. Mm-hmm. So good. The rest is silence.
Yeah, the only thing about that show, it's difficult for me to try and rewatch it because that CGI is so primitive, you know?
I mean, it's primitive, but if you remember for the time, it was excellent.
For a TV show, it was excellent.
It was excellent.
And I think even rewatching it, you get over it pretty quickly.
Yeah,
like, I really highly recommend that show
to
anyone.
Such a good show. Such a good show. Yeah. I loved it. I will always love it. And it got me into Transformers.
Yeah, and I would say fan of Transformers or not, that's a good starting place to get into
younger.
How cool it could be. Yeah.
Because I know a lot of, like, older Transformers fans who are like, Beast Wars, pfft.
Right.
Beast Machines, pfft. Things like that.
But I'm glad we got on to cartoons. Cartoons are definitely what I loved the most when I was young. That's
right.
What got me into everything. The Beast Wars stuff, the Looney Tunes. I'm a huge Looney Tunes fan. Those DVDs they've released with the commentary and all the historical information, I find that stuff so cool.
That's crazy. I should probably watch those.
And the music. The music is really what makes them. There's a Carl Stalling. There's a compilation mm-hmm. of stuff he did for Looney Tunes that's out there.
The one Looney Tunes skit I will always remember mm-hmm. is when Bugs Bunny is massaging what's-his-face's skull. Or is like, he's giving him, like,
Elmer Fudd.
Yeah, Elmer Fudd. He's giving him, he's, like, shaving him, he's cutting his hair, he's waxing his head, and the music is just...
Yeah, that was a whole Marriage of Figaro episode.
Yeah.
I remember that, where they kind of did the... Yeah, it's great.
That is one of my all-time favorite episodes, just because I don't remember why I laughed so much as a kid.
Well, they got to be super creative, and even going back and watching that, it's maybe not as funny as you remember, but it's still every bit as impressive. And like, man, this is really, like, it's smooth animation, it's beautiful work. They crafted that stuff with so much care. And I remember, like, just noticing that compared to other cartoons when I was younger, like, wow, this is just, like, it's good, it's great, it's better. Early on I remember kind of ranking stuff in my head and being like, this is better than this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, all those Saturday morning cartoons, definitely got into that. That's, I think, for me, like the Power Rangers, I always loved the team-based stuff. Ninja Turtles. Oh, we haven't talked about Ninja Turtles yet. You love that too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, team-based stuff, because I always kind of imagined myself as being the smart one. I was always kind of an outcast in school, because I was the smart, nerdy kid. Not, I wouldn't say super outcast, but you know, I liked this idea that the nerdy kid could be part of the heroics as well.
Right. And that was the thing for Transformers, for me, that I liked, because I could identify with any of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And...
Because they weren't erased?
Yeah, you know, they're robots. Mm-hmm. They'll be like, yeah, I'm going to be Optimus Primal today, or I'm going to be Cheetor.
Yeah, same with the Ninja Turtles. They were all turtles. They could be anything. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I never thought about that, how them being so abstract and unidentifiable made them easier to identify with.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's one of the reasons... That's one of the reasons I got into anime in college. In high school.
I definitely didn't get into it until college when they started... Maybe it was high school. They started showing Cowboy Bebop on Adult Swim. Right. And that's the first time I'd really tried watching, other than, like, you know, watching Pokemon on TV if it was on. It never, you know, I don't really consider that anime. It's hard to... I know it technically is.
It is anime. I think anything animated, I think, personally falls under the category of anime.
Right. But I never watched any of, like, Dragon Ball or Sailor Moon or any of that kind of stuff. Yeah, I never watched any of that. So, watching Cowboy Bebop, I was like, oh, okay, this kind of definitely opens my eyes a little bit. And then I saw some Trigun and some other stuff that I didn't care for. I had to... Naruto. I sat through, like, 100... I know
Trigun
you love it.
Trigun is so good.
Trigun is good, yeah.
Trigun is so good.
I kind of, like, just fell out of it after... An ex-girlfriend had me sit through 100-plus episodes, and I couldn't deal with it.
Naruto is easy to fall out of, because, I mean, they're on, like, episode, like, 300 or 400-something, and there's so much filler.
It's not even over yet?
No, it's not over. It's almost over.
Oh, my God.
It is entering the last story arc, I believe. I think that's where they're going with it, and I just want it to end, personally.
Jesus.
I know we were talking before, and you said you like things that never end.
I do. I like that idea. I don't think I necessarily like shows that drag themselves out, but I like this idea of a universe that keeps on going. It's why I love Doctor Who. It's why I played World of Warcraft. It's just, you know, you can't win. It's just, hey, a new adventure pops up, and you keep going with it, and things evolve.
Win.
Exactly. Things kind of evolve, and things change, but... It's more about, hey, just being and having fun as opposed to coming to the end of some journey.
See, my thing is, because I'm a storyteller, I need my story arc of beginning, middle, end.
I like having that in the middle of this great, grander adventure.
Okay, I can see that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It feels more like life in a way. Like, you know, when you have an adventure, it's not the only thing that's going to define you and all. Like, I like seeing a person's life and seeing them have adventures and, yeah. I think that's very cool.
Yeah. So what would you say is, like, kind of the thing that you saw, or, like, maybe a superhero or a character you saw as a kid that, like, most influenced you?
Definitely Spider-Man, I think.
Spider-Man?
Yeah, because that kind of, for me, came after all the team-based stuff, and...
Are we talking, like, the Fox animated
I'm talking about
Spider-
the Fox animated Spider-Man. Spider-Man. Before I got into comic books, I got into that show. And I know I've gone back and kind of read some stuff about how they definitely messed a lot of stuff up. They did Hobgoblin before they did Green Goblin.
They
did a lot of stupid things.
A lot of it was kind of crazy.
But that's okay, because I think they nailed the character of Spider-Man. Like, at least for me, that's the definitive one. He's essentially the geek from all those team-based shows, given his own series. And he's also kind of the wisecracking type of guy, and... He's very positive. That's what really stuck out to me for him, that he is such a positive personality, even surrounded by all this constant, like, oh, this is going wrong. Oh, Aunt May's been kidnapped. Oh, your girlfriend's dead. Great.
Oh, God. Gwen Stacy's dead.
Right. They nailed his sort of persevering attitude. And that's all. Like, that's the same reason I can't watch the Tobey Maguire ones. They completely... ruined the character for me.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
But that's what got me into comic books. I remember I was just at one of a drugstore or something, and I was like, oh, Marvel team up with Spider-Man.
Do you remember
Young
the days
X-Men.
When they sold comics at drugstores?
I think they still do.
They?
Although, I don't really go into drugstores very often anymore, so I can't.
I don't know. That's crazy.
Yeah, Spider-Man. That's where I definitely got into it at first.
Definitely for me, it was Optimus Primal and Optimus Prime. Because those two, for me, kind of represented everything at the time that I wasn't as a kid. Mm. Like, they were strong, they were confident, they were huge, and they could fight things. I was such a scrawny, poor child.
Interesting. For me, it was, like, I would always find parts of myself that were heightened in other people. So, like, you know, the smart one or the outcast or something.
Yeah,
like
I always found the exact opposite.
Interesting.
Which is probably why I wanted to be the Black Ranger. Just total opposite in every single way.
Have you never done hip-hop keto? Remember the Black Ranger would always do his hip-hop keto classes?
Oh my god, I just thought of that now. Oh my gosh.
That's, if you want to be the Black Ranger, this is what you have to do. Go sign up for a hip-hop keto class. I'm sure there's tons of them in the city.
There probably are. Oh my god, I had totally forgotten about that.
That's what you need to do. Start that journey now. It's never too late.
That's insane. That's insane. I can't believe I forgot about that.
So yeah, what were we talking about? Origin stuff.
Yeah. Oh, and from my love for the Primes. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's how I ended up getting into Gundam too.
Okay.
I've never watched any Gundam. Actually, seen every single Gundam series, including Gundam Build Fighters. And if there's any of you out there who watch Gundam,
never heard of it.
You know what that is.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, I've watched every single Gundam series, and I've always liked. It's I've always liked the humanity war kind of dealing with war kind of aspect of it. It's always been interesting coming of age tales. I don't necessarily see myself or kind of relate to most of the characters in Gundam, but I do like the storytelling elements, and it's just badass robots fighting. So
I'm getting back into anime now after Naruto turned me off of the whole thing. There was a movie I think that came out in 2009 called Redline, just like a cool racing movie. Love it. It was so awesome, so much fun to watch. I'm watching Space Dandy. I don't know if we've already talked about that, but Space Dandy, Attack on Titan, I'm enjoying a lot.
Oh god.
It's slow as hell, but I'm enjoying the concept. And
season 2 is coming.
Yeah, I'm watching. It's airing right now.
Are in the wall.
Or is that still season 1? What? Don't spoil it, man.
That's season 1, homie.
Titans are in the wall.
Oh, maybe that's not season 1.
I think
one.
It maybe like end of season. Hey, don't listen to this if you haven't watched.
We'll edit that out.
It doesn't matter too much. Now I'm thinking about what that could actually mean. What the fuck? Okay, not gonna think about it. Not gonna think about it.
Attack on Titan.
I've already got some theories on how this stuff is working, so I'll ask you about those off the air. But yeah, Space Dandy especially, it's kind of, I think there's a lot of good stuff to find out there. And a Gurren Lagann, I think we talked about that also.
Yeah. I recently finished Kill La Kill.
That's right, you were telling me about that. I don't remember if I made a note of it, but I want to make a note of that. Tell me about it again.
It's so ridiculous. It's one of the most ridiculous fun shows I've seen in a long time. It's an anime that doesn't take itself seriously, so. Yes.
Okay, so Kill La Kill.
Yeah,
three words. La.
Kill La Kill. Okay. We can fire it up after this. You can see the first episode. It's hilarious. So Kia, one of the big things that about you when I met you that was awesome is you're super into board games.
Yeah, that's definitely my favorite sort of nerd.
When I had just met you, I was just getting into like really specific board games like Avalon and Settlers of Catan and all that stuff that now are becoming super popular. But you've been into board games for a while.
Yeah, I would say at least about 10 years or so. Yeah.
You have an insane board game collection.
Yeah, it's pretty huge, and I can't stop every time I see something. Because they're just such a fun social activity. And
what
I
was, like, the first board game, you
the
think?
First, gosh, what was the very
first? Not, like, the first board game, but, like...
I mean, because, back you think of, like, Monopoly and Risk and all that crap, and,
what
you
was,
know,
like, the first...
The first modern board game that I played... Probably Betrayal at House on the Hill. I don't know what it was about that one that made me want to pick it up, but I remember I saw it at the comic book shop, and it was... The idea of it just appealed to me. So the idea is that you are these explorers, between 3 and 6, although I think it's best with a full party, and you are exploring this house, and it's a haunted house, or there's something weird going on with it. Basically a house out of some sort of a horror movie. And along the way, you are exploring, you're opening doors, different stuff's happening to you, you're finding weapons. You're also finding these omens that eventually, over time, are going to sort of trigger what's called the haunt, at which point one player randomly becomes the traitor, and it becomes that person versus everyone else.
Which is
and
super
it's a,
fun.
It's a cool idea, absolutely. And there's like 50 different scenarios based on the room omen combinations. And, I mean, it's just like a fun dice-chucking, have-a-great-time-with-it game. And
now, do you like kind of those collaborative board games more than you like the competitive ones? Because I really like ones that make me super competitive, like Avalon.
I'm not a very competitive person. Actually, in general, I like playing the game because of the fun aspect. I'm not so like, oh, I gotta win, I gotta beat you, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's part of the fun of it, of course, but it's not like genuinely, oh, I'm so mad that I lost that game. You
like,
know?
I always strive to be the best and to let everyone know that I'm the best by beating them.
I strive to make sure that everyone's having a good time.
You're a much better man than I am.
Oh, I try to be.
and you succeed.
And, So that was sort of the first one. How long ago would that be?
Because I know Betrayal is a bit of an old game.
I mean, it's getting there. That's when it first came out that I got it, because I remember that was the first edition, which is still out of print and maybe worth some money. They keep reprinting it, and they're kind of making changes every time.
Would you say that's like 6 or 7 years? I don't even
know. No, at least. It's got to be at least 10 years.
Oh, wow. It's that old. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, yeah. I think I was definitely in college when it came out. But yeah, since then, I mean, I don't play that one nearly as much, mostly because as fun of an idea it is, I think it's got some really weak design elements that you don't really see when it's your first board game, and so if you've never played board games, pick it up. It's a ton of fun. It's a blast. But no
one's
really...
What would you say for beginner, if someone, like, wants to get into board, like, indie board, not indie board games, is that how you...
Not even.
The
I
reason,
think just designer board games is
okay,
a better way to
go about
it.
The reason I say indie board games is because Avalon was the first one, and on the side it just says indie
boards. I mean, that's just the name of that company that prints it, Indie Boards and Cards. Yeah. And they're a good
company.
So more
like designer,
designer board
that
games.
That makes it sound so fashionable.
I mean, it really is, because you go to Target and Walmart and you look at the board game aisle, you're not going to see anywhere near the same kind of stuff that you see elsewhere. I think a good one for people just trying to get into it is Pandemic. That is one of the best starter games. It's a fully cooperative game. It's got a theme that everyone can get behind. You're scientists traveling around the world trying to stop disease from spreading. Everyone can get behind that. It's got a very simple...
Not me. I want to spread disease, Kia.
I'll get to that. There's a very simple sort of card drawing system that sort of defines what you can do. Really makes a lot of sense. And there's expansions for it. If you want to play one person versus everyone else, when one person is going around spreading disease, you can do that for sure.
Watch me, bitch.
But it's a great game. I know that the designer has put out a couple other good cooperative games, Forbidden Island and Forbidden Desert, which are both also incredibly great. I think at this point, I like Forbidden Desert a little bit more than Pandemic. I'd still recommend Pandemic for a first-timer, though.
So did you... Were you playing the... So you probably played these cooperative games, like, a long time ago with your friends and stuff, and that's how you discovered it's like, oh, I like being cooperative.
Yeah, but even the competitive ones are good, too. If you're looking for something like that, again, there's so many different styles of game. A lot of people call a game like Betrayal Ameritrash, or I'm hearing Amerithrash nowadays. It's not meant to be an offensive term. It's just like, okay, we know that this is like a fun, flavor-filled game where we're going to get into the characters and the story is a little bit more important. The games that I tend to get more often are... Well, I shouldn't say that. The other half of the spectrum is like the Euro-style games where everything is a lot more...
Euro-style?
Well, it's a lot more mathematical and it's about like... I don't want to say mathematical. That makes it sound boring. But more strategy-based stuff. Less die rolling and randomness, more heavy thinking. I kind of like games that fall in the middle and just give you a little bit of both.
Like I said, I just like dominating my opponent.
Live to win till you die, till the light comes in your eyes. Live to win, take it all, just keep.
Because Transformers was such a big part of my childhood that I wish I could love Transformers in some sort of way.
Oh, yeah, that's,
And it's so sad.
Yeah.
It's so sad. Did you see the most recent movie?
No, those aren't really the types of movies that I care for.
Did you see it?
No.
It was so,
I'm sorry,
sad.
I did hear that it was probably the best of the four.
No.
No? Okay, maybe not then. No. I'm sorry.
I would say you can't call any of those movies the best. That's giving each movie too much credit.
All right.
If you, my thing is, if you take out the human element of each of those movies, you have a far superior movie.
Oof. That if makes sense. I mean, people, when, that happens a lot. When people are trying to do a big, crazy action movie, they tend to forget the human element or do it poorly.
But the thing is, it happens. You have enough characterization in Optimus Prime and his Autobots and everyone to kind of give you a good movie about them interacting. And just the fact that you have to put in, like, Shia LaBeouf and, like, Marky Mark to, like, just ruin everything.
Yeah.
Like, the one, like, what made me cringe is when I saw the first trailer for Transformers 4, and Marky Mark is working on a truck, and he goes, "I think we got a fucking Transformer, bro." And I'm like, "No, this is the worst thing I've ever heard in my life."
We need a new giant robot movie. Pacific Rim did not do it for me. I did not like that movie. It was unimaginative, I thought.
Ah, I will direct you to a wonderful blog post about how everything in Pacific Rim is visual. Very few things are very few things of importance are communicated via dialogue.
Oh, my... Okay, I get it. My biggest problem with that movie, though, is that everything was very, like, oh, we want to do this cool thing. Okay, then this is the reason for it. Great. That doesn't connect to anything else. And that was constant throughout the whole movie. There were just these little pockets of, oh, here would be a cool thing. Oh, there would be a cool thing. But none of it ever came together for me. Like, oh, by the way, this one's analog. That was just like, wait, really? Now you're going to throw that out there? Like, when you're trying to do something a little more realistic. I know, people are going to disagree with me. That's fine. Bring it on. Bring it on, internet. I don't care what you say. Hated that movie.
All two commenters are gonna be really mad at this.
You two commenters? We've got so few commenters right now, I'm gonna get up close and personal with you. So if you comment, I will fuck you up, baby. Can I curse?
We'll edit that out.
Okay, yeah, curse. Edit out my cursing.
Yeah.
I love you.
So I wish I could like Transformers now, because it was such a big part of my childhood.
Yeah.
And, do you know what's really interesting? I did, you know, so I do have some, like, I watched Power Rangers, but what I got into more than Power Rangers when I got a little bit older was Kamen Rider. Kamen Rider.
Is that Masked Rider?
That is Masked
Rider. Okay, yeah.
I got super into Masked Rider.
I liked that a lot, too. And kind of everything that was coming out,
so cheesy.
There was Big Bad Beetleborgs, which I watched for some fucking reason.
Oh,
I don't know why.
You should watch the original Japanese Kamen Rider.
Oh.
It's so cheesy, and it's so much fun, though.
What was the one with Joey Lawrence's little brother, where he...
Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad.
Yeah. Ugh. That was crazy. Ugh. That was so bad.
Loved that show.
I love watching it, even though I know how bad it was. Yeah.
Here's
the premise of Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad.
For all you children.
The bad guy is essentially just this goth kid at school.
Yeah.
Who likes to draw monsters.
Yeah.
Okay? But then he scans them, and they come to life as computer viruses that he sends to other people. And then, was it Matthew Lawrence? Is that who it was?
I forget which Lawrence brother.
It's one of the Lawrence brothers. Goes into the computer as an antibody?
Yeah.
Called...
I forget.
Did it have a name?
It did have a name. I don't remember, though. It's so long ago.
Anyways, he would go in and they would battle. Like, he would punch this virus into submission. And... Oh, he had a guitar.
He did have a guitar.
Something to do with
the
guitar.
They played music.
They played a lot of music because he had a band and... Is that what powered him to go inside?
I don't remember.
There was something about that.
Do you remember VR Troopers?
Oh, yeah. We are VR
Troopers.
Yeah.
Trio.
Virtual reality. That was good shit.
That was a really bad show.
Remember the talking dog?
Oh, the talking dog. So much fun. Remember the black Zordon?
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't really Zordon. He was just in the computer. But they had a black Zordon.
I remember one episode where the dog was going to show them a magic trick. And it was a sandwich sitting on a table. And he says, okay, turn around. And everyone turns around. And then they turn back around, and he has eaten the sandwich. And that is the joke and the trick.
Is that the end of the episode?
That was the end of the episode. That's totally. And they're like, oh, dog, whatever his name was.
Oh, dog.
Oh, dog.
Optimus Primal, and Optimus Prime always really appealed to me as a kid, was because they were everything that I wasn't at the time. They were leaders, they were badasses, and they were, like, super strong. And I've always been kind of like a scrawny kid who has really not ever really taken the lead on anything. And really, up until college, I was kind of like that. I was super passive, super not really outgoing. I also went to an all-boys school.
A quiet loser, basically.
Yeah, I was a quiet loser. Wonderful. And I went to an all-boys school where it exacerbated that.
Yeah.
I know, it's awful. Don't send your kids to all-boys schools. They will come out emotionally scarred and they'll never want to rejoin society. But, it wasn't until college that I started actually being more assertive and being, like, a leader in things. Like, I ended up, like, heading up a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But as a kid, just kind of... because Optimus Primal and Optimus Prime had a command over the Maximals and Autobots, respectively, that was unwavering pretty much all the time. I mean, the only person who... like, question Primal was Dinobot, but that's because he was a fucking Decepticon.
That was the whole point of him.
Yeah. He was the other voice. But, that was kind of one of the big things that I look at now. I wasn't intellectual enough as a child to notice that, but that's kind of one of the things that attracted me to that character. Mm-hmm. In particular, and especially, and it's kind of what attracts me to characters now, too, because I was so aloof and awkward and passive as a child, is why I like kind of Marvel stories now, more so than DC, because Marvel characters, I feel, on the whole, are more,
multifaceted.
Not even multifaceted, but there are more character flaws to them.
Okay, yeah.
When they start out, as opposed to... the reason I have so much trouble reading Superman and Wonder Woman...
they're too perfect.
Is because they're perfect.
Yeah, they're too perfect.
And Aquaman, even to an extent, because he's like King of Atlantis, and just Superman and Wonder Woman, they're born that way. Mm-hmm. I do love anything that comes out of the Bat family. Because there's so much tragedy.
They are,
that
there
that
is a lot of tragedy there, yeah.
It gives you that human element.
Mm-hmm, that a lot of the rest of their stuff is missing.
Yeah, and that's why I kind of love, the Marvel stories. It's because there's so much more of a human element in them. Mm-hmm. Even, you can even see it in, I'm slow to read Captain America all the time.
Yeah.
But I love
Captain America.
Every other character, like Tony's alcoholism, and like who else has a character flaw that you can like easily point out to? Oh, I don't know if you read the new Ms. Marvel, but it is the new Ms. Marvel features a Middle Eastern girl who becomes an Inhuman because of the Terrigen Mist.
And oh, I did read about that. Yeah,
she's becoming a superhero, but she's this brown teenage girl becoming a superhero, and I can imagine how much more that could have positively affected my life as a kid or a teenager, being able to grow up with that.
Marvel has been really great about making the world a much more acceptable,
diverse
universe where it's just so much more realistic because it's the way the world is. Just
that book, I connect to that book on so many levels because it goes through her family life too. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you're an immigrant and you read that book, it's so much fun to read because you connect with it on so many levels. And it's just a great book about a really real
I'm going to have to read that one.
There's 7 issues in it. It's great. They just had a crossover with Wolverine.
Of course they did.
It's great.
Wow. Well, that's a good segue into my origins, too, because I am Middle Eastern. I'm Iranian. I was born in Texas, of all places. Yeah, what? But my parents are Iranian, and I was always kind of that weird outcast kind of kid. I mean, not really. People were never outright mean to me, but I always kind of, you know, I knew I was different and just kind of kept to my own. I liked studying and listening to the teacher and being smart.
Stupid. And yeah,
what a bunch of crap.
What an idiot. I'm kidding.
But watching, I mean, I think that's why I was driven to those team-based shows earlier, because characters like Donatello and Billy can fit in and be part of this heroic team, and it's like, oh, cool, I can be part of something. And it wasn't until...
Wait, you're talking Billy the Blue Power Ranger?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Sure.
Sorry, what other Billys are there? There's no other Billy.
I don't know.
There's The Adventures of Bayou Billy. That was a good video game.
Oh, no, Zordon.
No, it wasn't.
That was more of an alpha than it was a Billy.
You're right, it definitely was.
Ay-yi-yi-yi-yi!
It's good. It's a good
Rangers.
Alpha.
Rangers.
No, what was that? It didn't sound like anybody.
That was bad.
I'm sorry.
Rangers.
That was a good Zordon. But yeah, watching those...
Sorry, I have to stop with my Power Ranger impressions.
I definitely liked all those, the team-based stuff, and it just got into me being a more well-rounded person, I guess. Because all those people, even though they were the nerd of the team, they all still were able to hold their own in a fight, and... yeah, that's one of those important things.
That's super interesting that you identified with the nerd, mm-hmm. which is what you considered yourself to be.
Yeah.
And I identified with literally the antithesis of what I wanted, which is always interesting. Because I always wanted to be, like, the one that I wasn't.
Right, you wanted to be someone better than yourself.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Which says a lot about my self-esteem.
Mm-hmm. I had very supportive parents, so... I came to accept myself very quickly, but also learned that I needed to work on myself.
I was a dick of a child. That's not even a joke.
Did you kill your twin?
I did. I ate him in the womb. That's when it started.
Yeah, that's a bad way to start.
That's a bad way to start. Cannibalism and murder.
Jeez, no good.
But yeah, I always identified with the things that I wasn't. Like Optimus Primal. Like, I could have easily... identified with, like, Cheetor.
Yeah, Cheetor is pretty cool.
But I mean, he's also, like, hyper.
I feel like he's the jock.
He's the jock.
Yeah.
I was a wannabe jock, so I always considered myself sort of a jock.
You know, it's weird. I went to a high school where everyone was really very accepting of everyone else. Like, the theater kids and the band kids and, like, the football kids and, like, people would hang out with each other because we were all just... cool with each other. It was really weird.
That's positive. I had the opposite experience in high school.
I feel like most people did. I had a very unique high school experience.
I went to an all boys school, and it was the all boys school version of Mean Girls.
Okay.
There was literally every social clique you could possibly have.
That's weird. I guess that would have to exist in a boys school still, but that's kind of weird.
Yeah, and just imagine that though without any estrogen kind of to balance it out, so it's all testosterone fueled rage.
That sounds terrible.
It's really awful.
Just a bunch of like fucking boys that either want to fight something or just like stay out of someone's way or
You either have the really dominant ones or the really
You got everybody
awesome.
There. You got your freshmen, ROTC guys, preps, JV jocks, Asian nerds, cool Asians, varsity jocks, unfriendly black hotties, girls who eat their feelings, girls who don't eat anything, desperate wannabes, burnouts, sexually active band geeks, the greatest people you will ever meet, and the worst. Beware of the plastic.
So now nowadays, I guess, what makes us really big nerds today is I'm pretty much a Marvel Universe mascot.
Mm-hmm.
And I pretty much love most things Marvel.
Cool.
It's a bit of a problem.
Yeah, I'm definitely a board gaming addict. That's my big problem.
Yeah, you brought two of them.
I did, just because I never go anywhere without a game of some sort.
That's
on
true. Yeah. I bought Timeline because of you.
I see it on your shelf.
I know,
it's a great game.
It's amazing. Yeah, so I'm really big into Marvel now. My cousin introduced me also to Dynasty Warriors.
Okay.
Which is, it's repetitive, but it's so cathartic.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the premise of Dynasty Warriors?
I don't.
You relive the War of Three Kingdoms in China.
Okay.
You go through, like, the historic battles, but basically you have these really amped up, like, souped up, not... So the basic premise of Dynasty Warriors is you relive the War of the Three... Or Romance of the Three Kingdoms is the novel it's based
on. Okay.
Which talks about the Wei Wu, Shu dynasties and the uniting of China, basically, and how there were so many battles waged, and there were just these ridiculous characters that have these ridiculous strengths. I'll show you after this. So they have, like, you can kill, like, 1,000 people on the battlefield.
No, yeah, I saw you were playing that when I got here.
I was playing the Gundam version. This is the actual human version.
Okay, okay.
Of it.
Cool.
And it's just, it's insane. Some of the weapons they use would not have existed at the time.
That sounds fun.
It's so much fun. And I'm, yeah. So, big Marvel nerd now. I read literally everything.
Uh-huh.
Except for a few choice titles, which I have trouble getting into right now.
Like what? Let's name names.
New Warriors, I couldn't get into. I wasn't enjoying it.
Is that the one that, Speedball, is he on that team?
Speedball's on it.
Yeah. Okay, I know who you're talking about.
I got into it because I really like Scarlet Spider.
Okay.
But I couldn't follow the team. I just didn't like them as a team. Magneto... I'm going to pick up again, but it's one of the things that fell on the back burner. She-Hulk 2, Silver Surfer, Punisher I was never gotten into, all-new Ghost Rider I'm not a big fan of.
Yeah, I was never a Ghost Rider fan.
Yeah, he's not my favorite, and then, I don't read any of the Wolverine titles, because Wolverine is oversaturated.
100% agree with you.
But everything else, like, I read every single Avengers title, most of the X-Men titles that don't have Wolverine in the title, and, yeah, that's really my big thing now. And recently getting into board games.
Great.
Because of Avalon.
I'm still, of course, big into board games, big into cartoons. I just love that animation is still alive and well, and it's not all 3D, because there is still so much you can do with 2D. I definitely respect 3D animation as well, but I just love cartoons. I think it's a beautiful art form.
Oh my god. You watch Adventure Time, I bet.
Oh, yeah. I actually think I like Regular Show and Steven Universe more. Have you watched Steven Universe?
I have watched Steven Universe.
It's got a very different sort of heart to it,
yeah.
And I like that.
I really like Regular Show because it's so regular.
It is. And the...
Like, there's always just this...
They're
anthropomorphic things.
Small character decisions that they make,
yeah.
Kind of, they really do add up over time.
They're really just people.
It does.
Which is super fun.
It does tell very great slice of life stories,
yeah.
That I haven't seen kind of that zany 15-minute type cartoon show to do. And it's very successful, I think.
Cartoons and
Rick and Morty on Adult Swim.
Everyone loves Rick and Morty.
Love that show,
everyone.
Which is basically, at its heart, it's really like a Doctor Who parody, and
yeah.
I also love Doctor Who. That goes back to what you were saying about I like stuff that doesn't end, but
yeah.
It still gives you these self-contained stories that do
yeah.
end over, like, you know, each doctor kind of has their own
yeah.
thing. Love it. Definitely bigger into anime now, watching more and more of it as I go. And I like just keeping abreast of all the comic book lore that's out there, mostly Marvel. I really just have a hard time caring about DC in general. I mean, those are the big things for me. At this
yeah.
point, like, real life just takes up so much time that it's hard to be fully invested in everything.
This is real life,
especially
man.
Especially when
this
I'm...
This is real
well,
life.
Well, especially when I'm so big into the board game thing.
Yeah.
That's really my main area of...
Time.
Yeah, time is tough.
Difficult to come by.
It's tough. But I love it. Love just at least being aware of what's out there and keeping up to date. Oh, role-playing games. Oh, I didn't even talk about that. RPGs. I've been running a Dungeon World campaign for some friends
of mine. You're talking about real RPGs.
Yeah, like not video games. Not video game RPGs.
Final Fantasy XIII.
Like pen and paper, sit with your friends around a table and roll some dice.
That's intense.
Yeah, I had never really run a game before. I'd kind of tried a few times. And D&D is cool, but I tried this new system called Dungeon World, which definitely has more of a storytelling aspect to it.
Nice.
Like, very rules light, which is fun for people who kind of are already creative and don't need that extra backbone to their game. I can definitely see where some people would prefer a lot of the other systems that are out there. Especially, like, some dungeon masters are the type that build this great challenge and, like, okay, let's see how you do with it. Me, I'm more about, like, hey, let's do a collaborative storytelling thing and have fun with it.
Very,
and that's been
a lot very,
of fun.
Very improv of you. Well, dudes and lady dudes, that was a lot of stuff that we went through.
That was. Thank you for listening to
all
that.
Yeah, I really hope you enjoy it. We're going to be bringing on a lot of cool guests, hopefully. A lot of people that you may know, you may have heard of. In the nerd scene, and we're going to be talking to them about, you know, what got them into it. Kind of like how we did. It'll be a little bit more directional, I would say, a little bit more
organized. Yeah, this was really just us kind of feeling this whole thing out, seeing what we like and getting our perspectives, but we'll be getting a lot of different perspectives, adding those in there, and it's going to be really fun.
Yeah, and like we said, it won't just be, you know, comic book nerds. We have, you know, we're hoping to bring people on who are like, movie nerds, or maybe we have theater nerds, or something.
I think you can get nerdy about anything.
Exactly.
And that's the best. I mean, that's how I define being a nerd, just what excites you, know, what makes you geek out.
And we're going to be getting into a lot of what makes a lot of different people geek out, and we hope you're with us for the ride, because we enjoy it, and we hope you do too. So again, thank you for listening to the inaugural episode of Nerd Roots. I've been Ben.
I've been Kia.
And we will forever remain so for the foreseeable future.
I hope so. Thanks
Catch
for
you
listening.
Guys next time.
Bye.
We did that at the same time.
That's great.
Wait, what's our...